ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah, for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is your Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. Continuing with the aqidah of Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari rahimahullah, we're still with his point that we believe in the narrations that have been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning the Dajjal. And before this class, last week or the week before, we covered some of the hadith that give the description of the Dajjal. And we can take the example of this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam from Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ جَسِيمٌ أَحْمَرُ جَعْدُ الرَّأْسِ, to the end of that hadith, where the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam described the Dajjal by saying, then he was a big man who was red, and by red, we mean white. Not like they say, and astaghfirullah, just one of the brothers have brought it to my attention, and I didn't hear it from a long time from one of these five percenters, the red man and the yellow man and the white man and the black man. And I forgot all about it. But in Arabic, when they say red, what is meant is white. And they usually say black and red, meaning black and white. At any rate, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, described him as a man. And nobody had mentioned it, but I remember before that the people thought that the Dajjal, well, I thought I had heard some of the people say that the Dajjal is the American government or the New World Order or something like that, that this was the Dajjal that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was speaking about. We see in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam described him as a man and gave his characteristics, his eyes like this, it'll be written on his forehead, and so on and so forth, to show that it's a man and that it's not, as the people try to make it, symbolic. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. The next point that we wanted to mention about the Dajjal is the place that the Dajjal is going to come from. If the Dajjal comes to the earth, where is he going to come from? And we see from the hadith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الدجال يخرج من أرض من أرض بالمشرق يقال لها خراسان. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the Dajjal will come from a land in the east, and you call that place Khurasan. Khurasan, I don't know where that's at now. That's out. What's Iraq?
Persia.
Persia, that's a country called Persia?
I mean, it's the same place, but it was like Iran and Iraq.
Yeah. Iran is a big country. And Iraq is another big country.
Oh, it's a place where they all meet, Turkey, Iran, Iraq.
All right. Where Turkey, Iran, and Iraq meet. Inshallah ta'ala. And Allah tabaraka ta'ala knows best. May Allah give us the ability to purchase the books that we need. There's a book I wanted to buy a long time ago. It's called... Tariq al-Buldan or something, I think that's the name of it. It's the history of the different cities. Nowadays, sometimes the city here got it, they gave it a different name and this and so on. Where does the city take place? Where is it in the world and what have you? And they describe it. And usually when you come to these names like Khurasan, and many of the ulama of hadith used to visit Khurasan, like al-Bukhari and Muslim. And there are many of the ulama was around this area. At any rate, I don't have that book to describe, you know, where does it take place. Like they name the main rivers in the world, in that part of the world, to give you an idea of where that city takes place. At any rate, over that way somewhere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Dajjal will come from the land in the east. And then he named the city called Khurasan. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج الدجال من يهودية أصفهان معه 70,000 من اليهود. In the next narration of Imam Ahmed, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says that the Dajjal will come from the Jews of Asbahan, and he will have 70,000 Jews with him. Asbahan is also a land that's over that way somewhere in the east. And we had even did the aqidah of Abu Ma'mar Ahmed ibn Mansur, I think that's his name, Al-Asbahani rahimahullah, when we did a talk at Rutgers. At any rate, that's from over there, and many of the ulama, they come from this area there in the east. It used to be known in the past as Ahlul Hadith, and now, like, we're Ahlul Hadith, alhamdulillah, and now they're known as the Hanafis. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah al-aliyyil azim. At any rate, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is also showing that the Dajjal is going to come from the east. And Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he explains in Fath al-Bari, in the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, as he says, as far as the question where would the Dajjal come from, then he's going to come from the east for surety. And here Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar is saying that maybe we don't know where this exact spot is, but we know it's going to come from the east for a certainty. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he says in his book An-Nihaya, and this is Al-Fitn wal-Malahim, he says that he's going to come from the city Asbahan. And this, and in that area, in Asbahan, they have an area called Al-Yahudiyah, or the Jewish area from Asbahan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Oh, I forgot. I could have described it. Khurasan and Asbahan. I forgot that the author of this book put in the footnote, quoting from that book, Mu'jam al-Buldan, to describe where the city's at. I'll describe it, maybe the brothers know. He said Khorasan is a big land in the east, and it's a big land in the east comprised of many cities. From amongst them is Naysabur. Naysabur is where Imam Muslim is from. Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj al-Naysaburi. And from Harra, I don't know anybody from there. And from Marw, and this is from Imam al-Marwazi. I don't know if we quoted from him before in the past. And from Balakh. And yeah, he said, huh? Yeah, he said, all right. And this is just below the river of Jayhun. I don't know what that is in English. Jayhun. It's my north river like that. Anyway, that's Khurasan. As for Asbahan, he says, it's a city well known in the area called G. And it's known today as Shahristan. What is that?
Russia
area.
Lower Russia.
Alright, so that's where the people, that's where the Dajjal will come from. And we'll see, too, as the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, describes the people that will be with him. And then you can see from the characteristics of the people that they're from that area of the world in the east. The next point is that the Dajjal will not be able to enter Mecca or Al-Madinah. And this is from the hadith of Fatima bint Qais radiallahu anha, anna Dajjal qal. فأخرج وأصير في الأرض فلا أدع قرية إلا هبطتها في 40 ليلة غير مكة وطيبة فهما محرمتان على كلتاهما كلما أردت أن أدخل واحدة أو واحدا منهما استقبلني ملك بيده السيف صلتا يصدني عنها وإن على كل نقب منها ملائكة يحرسونها. And this is collected by Imam Muslim in Sahih. وفاطمة بنت قيش, she said that the Dajjal, he said that when I come, I'm going to travel through the earth, and there's not going to be a city on the whole earth except that I'm going to land in that city in the time span of 40 nights, except for Mecca and Taiba. And Taiba is one of the names of Al-Madinah, because those two cities are prohibited, are sacred. And I'm not permitted to enter those two. So every time I try to enter one of those two cities, there'll be an angel there with a sword in his hand, meeting me at that point that I try to enter, preventing me from entering the city. And at every road that enters the city is an angel guarding that road into the city. So here, in this hadith of Imam Muslim, we see that the Dajjal himself, he's saying that he's not going to be able to enter into Mecca or Al-Madinah. And I think this is an encouragement for whoever has a degree in English to take that job that is being offered to teach English in Al-Madinah. So if the Dajjal comes, that at least he'll be safe from the Dajjal. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. The next hadith of Imam Ahmad, a part of the hadith where the Messenger of Allah والسلام, is mentioning the Dajjal, he says, وَإِنَّهُ يَمْقُطُ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَرْبَعِينَ صَبَاحًا يَبْلُغُ فِيهَا كُلُّ مَنْهَلْ وَلَا يَقْرَبُ أَرْبَعَةَ مَسَاجِدْ مَسْجِدُ الْحَرَامُ وَمَسْجِدُ الْمَدِينَةِ وَمَسْجِدُ الطُّورِ وَمَسْجِدُ الْأَقْصَى. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that the Dajjal would remain on earth for 40 mornings. And he will enter every city except four masjids. The Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the Masjid al-Madina in al-Madina, the Prophet's Masjid, Masjid al-Tur, I forgot where Masjid al-Tur is at, and Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows that the Dajjal won't enter these areas. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described these areas by the masjid that's in that city. So here we see from this hadith that the Dajjal would not enter into Mecca or Medina. Who are going to be the followers of the Dajjal? And the hadith of Imam Muslim, عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يتبع الدجال من يهود أصبهان 70,000 عليهم الطيالسة. In this hadith from Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that the Jews from Asbahan, 70,000 Jews from Asbahan would follow the Dajjal, and they would be wearing the Tayalasa. The Tayalasa is like a big thobe-like thing that we used to see the magicians they wear or something. The sorcerers with the big sleeves, that type of thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And one of the narrations of Imam Ahmed, he says, سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا عَلَيْهِمَ التِّيجَانِ, that there'll be 70,000 of them, and they'll be wearing big kufi crowns. Like, I don't know if y'all saw some of the Sufis, they wear the big green thing, is big like that, that if you tried to sit in the car, it'll fall off because it's too tall. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The brother is saying from this hadith that he'll cover every city in the whole world in 40 days. Does this show that the earth will be smaller than it is now? No, it doesn't show that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Really, it's just the way the Prophet ﷺ says it personally, and then maybe at our time we can't imagine how somebody can cover every city in the world in 40 days. Just like maybe 100 years ago, nobody could imagine that somebody would leave from New York and be in Jeddah in 12 hours, or that somebody would leave New York going to California and he'd be there in 5 hours or 6 hours. So maybe 100 years ago, nobody could have ever imagined somebody say, you're going to be from New York, you're going to get there in 5 hours, 6 hours. I don't know, maybe New York, maybe it's going to be another city called California or another state or something. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says it'll take place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if there'll be some type of transportation or whatever that's going to let him to go by city to city, or use a helicopter, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but that it'll take place the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said. Just as something similar to that, Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, when he comes, he's going to kill the pig and the cross. And those Christians love that cross so much, there's so many of them. You say, how are you going to break all of those crosses? You know? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. With technology, we just begin to start imagining how you can start destroying things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But when they say something's going to take place, it's going to take place. Even like they say he's going to kill the pig, how is he going to find the pigs? And maybe nowadays things are a little closer to us than before. As you know, the satellites, they can beam down on whatever they want to look for, like diamonds and gold and maybe even pigs or whatever. So if this is if this is how far man has gone, how easy is it for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? And we're going to see inshallah from some of the hadith that when the Dajjal comes, the fitna is going to be that he's going to do the supernatural, or to do things that's not ordinary, as we're going to see inshallah ta'ala.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, Masjid al-Madinah, the Prophet's Masjid, Masjid al-Tur, I forgot where that masjid's at, and Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. And one of the narrations on the followers of the Dajjal, from the narration of Imam al-Tirmidhi, it says, يَتَّبِعُهُ أَقْوَامٌ كَأَنَّ وُجُوهُهُمُ الْمَجَانُّ الْمُطْرَقَةُ. In this narration, he says, those who follow them will be a who follow the Dajjal will be a group of people, and their faces will be like they've been beat up with a hammer. That means their faces look like they're always frowning. You know, if you're frowning out, your nose is out, your cheeks is like that. It's like somebody was chiseled your face out into all kind of like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ibn Kathir rahimullah says, it's apparent and Allah knows best that what is meant is the Turk. The Turk people, and they're the people that have those like Russian descriptions with the thin eyes, almost like Chinese. And then they always look like they're frowning. If you see the people from that area, they kind of look a little rough, like, yeah, kind of like Mongolia, like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the next hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, gives another description as he says, لا تقوم ساعة حتى تقاتلوا خوزا وقرماني من الأعاجم حرم الوجوه فطس الأنوف صغار الأعين كأن وجوههم المجان المطرقة نعالهم الشعر. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, he describes them as being white in their faces, flat nose, small eyes, and their faces look like they've been beat up. The hammer and their shoes are made out of fur. Huh? That's them? Mongoloids. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This what seems to be apparent from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he says, many of the followers will be from the desert Arabs because of their ignorance. Or, in this word, the desert Arabs could refer to the people who are away from this centers of learning in general. As it seems to be, and I was telling some of the people, some of our mashayikh, that in America it seems to be different. In the land of the Muslims, the intelligent people are in the big cities, that's it. The capital cities, the major cities. And everybody else in the villages are ignorant. As opposed to America, astaghfirullah, the big cities is where you have the ignorance being widespread. And then in the smaller cities or the suburbs, whatever, where the people are more educated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, the Shaykh, he explains that this is because ignorance is their way. As we see in the hadith where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنَّ مِنْ فِتْنَتِهِ أَيْ الدَّجَّالِ أَنْ يَقُولَ لِلْأَعْرَابِ أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ بَعَثْتُ لَكَ أَبَاكَ وَأُمَّكَ أَتَشْهَدُ أَنِّي رَبُّكَ فَيَقُولُ نَعَمْ فَيَتَمَثَّلُ لَهُ شَيْطَانَانِ فِي صُورَةِ أَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ فَيَقُولَانِ يَا بُنَيْ اتَّبَعْهُ اتَّبِعْهُ فَإِنَّهُ رَبُّكَ. Or as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith of Ibn Majah, where the Prophet ﷺ says, from the fitna of a Dajjal is that the desert Arab would say that the Dajjal would say to the desert Arab, do you see that if I brought your mother and your father back to life, would you bear witness then that I'm your Lord? So the desert Arab would say, of course. So two shaitans would take the form of the person's mother and father, and then he'd say, oh my son, follow this man, because indeed he's your Lord. And this is only to show the fitna of the Dajjal and who are the people that will be following him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and to save us from ignorance. As we see one of the problems of ignorance, that they would follow the Dajjal. And we already saw the case of the people being ignorant here in America, where astaghfirullah, this is the time where he's going to get the blame. Master Fard, that they want him to carry the blame. He came and told them, aren't I Allah? And the people just followed them, meaning, I'm your Lord, and the people followed them. And that, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ignorance. This kind of reminds me of a story that one of our sheikhs was telling us, that in Arabia, when the Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab and those people who were calling to the Quran and the Sunnah, when they were coming in, calling the shots, making the enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, they would come in and question everybody in this house and make sure that the people's aqidah was straight, and if not, look out. So the sheikh was saying that sometimes they knock on the door, who am I? You my Lord. who's your prophet? Your boy, your partner. What's your deen? I'm on your deen. But this is the way of the ignorant, that anybody can come to them with anything and to make them believe. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. So this is some of the descriptions of those people who would follow the Dajjal, the Jews, the desert Arabs, or the ignorant. And the sheikh, he even adds the women, and I didn't really add that, but I'll add it. He says, because, and I didn't want to offend the women, that the women in general, their case is that they're ignorant, just like the desert Arabs. And he brings a hadith to show that when the Dajjal comes, that the people are going to be very concerned about their women, and they're going to do their best to protect them, because ignorance is widespread amongst the women. And this too might be the opposite case for us in America, where it seems like the women have been more educated than the men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I think that the sheikh is just trying to point out from these texts that the Dajjal is going to have as his followers the ignorant and the Jews and people like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Dajjal is going to be a serious fitna for humanity when he comes. And the sheikh, he brings some hadith to discuss that. And as I was reading those hadith before the class, I just didn't have enough time to look up the words again, as these hadith are long hadith with words that aren't that common. And I hope everybody excuses me for tonight, and we'll end here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. At any rate, we had encouraged in the beginning that Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim has the translations of many of these hadith relating to the Dajjal, for whoever wants to refer to them, to these translations, inshallah ta'ala, that they can benefit from some of these hadith of the Dajjal. But for now, it's sufficient for us to know that it's amongst the four things that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam commanded us to seek refuge in Allah from in our salah before we do the tasmeem. And this is from the fitnatul masih al-dajjal. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the fitna of the Dajjal. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there were any questions around the place where the Dajjal is going to come, who are going to be some of the people who follow the Dajjal, and that the Dajjal will enter Mecca and Al-Madina. Nah. What's the relationship between the Dajjal and the Gog and the Magog? This Gog and the Magog, I forgot. I said that I wanted to, and I don't know much about them right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, so I don't know the relationship. At any rate, this is one of the signs of the last hour, and I think we're going to try to review some of those hadith and maybe cover some of those hadith, inshallah ta'ala. Is that okay? The relationship between that and that.
So the thing I wanted to mention was that coming of the Dajjal is one of the last, the major signs of the last hour.
Yeah.
After that thing, everything will come into session.
Yeah, once the major signs come, alright, it's almost there. Alright, the smaller signs just show that you're getting close. Take your life very seriously and worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala before this world is over with. Like the spread of ignorance, the spread of fornication and adultery, drinking alcoholic beverages, widespread killing, and stuff like this. These signs that we've already seen. Well, I mentioned some of them that we've seen, and when these become widespread, all right, now it's getting closer and closer. Once you start seeing the major signs, now it's even closer. When you see the sun come up from the opposite side, then it's over with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. And I don't know if we're getting closer, but lately there's been a lot of cases where the Muslims are committing adultery. So it looks like we might be getting closer, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. And the shuyukh, they used to say that this is the whole purpose or the wisdom, and Allah knows best, behind the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam teaching us of these signs in order to put some fear in your heart that this world is going to end. And don't think that you're going to live forever or that everything is going to go forever, but to prepare to meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And this is what we should be getting when we cover some of these major signs that it's coming. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us.
Muslims killing Muslims, or Muslims killing Kufar, Kufar killing Kufar.
These killings, I don't know if it's Muslims, Muslim, Kufar, or whatever, except that killing would be widespread. And it seems like killing is a little more widespread than it used to be. I don't know. Huh? Definitely.
Without a reason,
that's it, too. Just killing without a reason. Before, it seemed like it wasn't as much killing when the people used to walk around with their guns. Mm-hmm. Because you know it's a little serious. A little serious when the people got a gun. You know, everybody's not so quick to start a fight. But right, like now, nobody don't see who got a gun. You fight somebody and somebody gets shot. As the brother was just saying earlier, that one of the Muslims that got shot recently. And he said it was a brother. And as he was telling me, the brother was just walking off the musalla. So it wasn't that brother. So I don't
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That'll be just general killing, would just be increased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Greensbar, Sheikh.
كيف حالك يا جمال؟
عليكم السلام تعالى الحمد لله. Ibn Kathir writes in Signs of the Day of Judgment, there's a hadith that he refers to where he says, the question is asked, what if there's no main body and no leaders? He was instructed to isolate himself from all sects.
Yes.
Even if you have to eat the roots of trees until death overcomes you while you're in that state.
Yes.
Could you put that in context for me, please, inshallah?
Even if you have to go out to the wilderness and leave civilization and to worship Allah while you're in that state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Shukran.
Now, even some of the ulama may have said that it could be taken literally, meaning that you might go out to the, and you look at this, if you're in the desert region, that you might just go out to the desert and nothing is there but those tumbleweed, cactus, whatever, and you just eat that until you just die. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us. And this is just a sign from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or words of encouragement in the last times when the people leave the practice of Islam. Do whatever you gotta do to hold on to practicing this deen of al-Islam, even if it means going to the desert area or whatever, until death takes you, overtakes you while you're worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, instead of remaining in the cities or civilization, getting trapped off in the fitna of Muslims, killing Muslims, and whatever might take place, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
In plain talk, Abu Muslimah, could that also mean, or could that be applied to pockets of cities or small communities where you do not have proper leadership? People who are on the hawk, and you find yourself frustrated, and you find yourself hearing and listening to things that are fitna and all the other crazy things that occur when people do not have the truth. Could it mean that you should just stay away from those people if it means staying in your house and praying alone?
Some of the ulama, they say that it has this connotation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Not just from this text alone, but from other texts similar to this, that they say that this is the meaning, and some of the ulama have even encouraged this in some of the areas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I'm with those ulama who say that hijrah is better. Meaning Allah's earth is spacious enough. If you have that fitna in your city, then move to another city. If you have that fitna in your state, move to another one. If you have that fitna in your country, move to another one. If you have that fitna in your continent, move to another one where you can worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, as His earth is spacious enough, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there was anything else from Greensboro. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.